What an opportunity. You ever think about the freedom we've been given in this country? There's a lot of things going on in this country that, you know, from the pulpit we bring, you know, don't live like the world, don't be like this. But God has blessed us with a freedom where we can sit in comfort, coffee cup in hand, and hear about the word of Jesus Christ. And not every place is blessed with that. So I love that. Real quick. After this, it is our annual business meeting. What we're going to do is when I'm done, we say amen. You can hang out, do your normal thing, but in this room here, about 10 minutes after that, we're going to start the annual meeting. This allows us to get the meeting underway, and afterwards, you guys can still go out and grab lunch without, sometimes we've had lunch here and kind of prolonged it, but we just want to get the meeting underway. So if you are a member, please stay. If you're not, you are 100% welcome. The only thing is, a non-member, you can just partake through your ears. As far as, hey, I'd like to say this or even thank you for this, God bless you, come up and think later. But as far as speaking out opinions, this is for members only. But if you're like, hey, I've been thinking about becoming a member of the church, hang out with us. You're going to hear about the church, about the things that we've dealt with, about the things that we're going to partake as a church family. So it's a great opportunity. But members, please hang out and stay. And we can actually have fun at a meeting. Anyone plan a surprise for me? Good. I don't like the surprises on meeting day, so let's just keep those at home. But we're looking forward to that. God is good. I'm just looking forward to kind of sharing my heart. And last year, I guess if you're going to write down a year, last year was one to remember in the fact that it was a valley season. And valleys aren't bad. Valleys are kind of what you would look at is a valley is low and a mountaintop is high. And what's God say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? I will fear no evil. For thine. Yeah, it goes on. Because God's like, you're going to have valleys. Any parents out there? You ever have your kid make them think that they think less of you? That's a valley. Ever have a kid? Hey, I hate you, Mom and Dad. You're sitting here slaving, trying to discipline and grow them in the right way. That's a valley. Do you give up? No, you still parent. You still love them. Our church, we went through a valley last year. It was difficult. Very difficult. Did we give up? No, because our God, he's the one that we just had to rely and wait. We're walking out of that valley, and it's obvious to see, but there's just more. And everything that it's about is the kingdom of God. It's all about God's kingdom. Linda, I have to make fun of you for that. I love seeing people take their phone and just run as fast as they can. Shut up. But praise God for his faithfulness, who he is, this church family. I see you. I see newer faces. I just love that. It's about the good news, and that's really what we're talking about today. Chad started our series last week on 1 Corinthians, and what an amazing book, and he's speaking to the churches, and we're a church, and we just want to gather everything God has for us that we can just put it to use in our lives. And on my actual Bible, it's got a title, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you're going to follow me, I have some verses up there. I have some verses I'm just reading because there's a lot of scripture. So if you want to grab your Bibles, if you want to grab your phones to follow me, you certainly can. But in chapter 2, the title says, The Power of the Message of the Cross. And so our message is about the good news of Jesus Christ. So if you're in here, most of you know or have heard of the message. The message is about Jesus Christ. He loved us. He was God's son, still is. He died for our sins after he lived 33 years on this earth. He was a missionary. He had disciples. He worked through those disciples to show them how to live. Those lessons are all in this word of God for us, as well as the plan before the great mystery. The great mystery was Jesus Christ, but when you think about it, Genesis started the writings of the Bible. When did we find out about the great ministry, or great mystery? It was actually at the end of the Gospels in the New Testament. Well, there's thousands of years going in there. So if you ever hear and we're going to talk about the mystery. It was the fact that this plan was planned at the beginning of time through the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus. But this mystery came to us now, and it's no longer a mystery, that there is life through Jesus Christ. So if we do anything with our lives, with your life, if you stand for anything, hopefully it's getting that news out. And a lot of that happens through our experiences, just getting the good news of Jesus out. Now, that being said, when it comes to witnessing, when it comes to sharing the good news, has anyone ever felt less than? Yeah, my hand's up. Have you ever wished, I wish I could be more like this person? I wish I could speak like them. I wish I had the freedoms to, they're just so good with people. I wish I had their biblical knowledge. I wish I could answer the questions like they do. Has anyone ever thought that? Yeah, most of the hands. I think that today. There's always something in you that you wish you could know more or say more or say it better, and there's always someone that you think does. I bet there's phenomenal authors out there that have written on particular subjects of the Bible wishing that they would know just a little bit more and understand a little bit more. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually, it can be an act of humility. But when it's dangerous is when we allow the message, when we allow that less than feeling to keep us from speaking out the message. So that's what I want to cover. That's what I want to talk about today. We have been called to deliver a message. Our lives are meant to deliver the message of good news. And anything that gets in the way of that is somewhat dangerous. And so sometimes we can defeat ourselves feeling less than, hey, I don't know enough. I haven't had a great amount of examples. Actually, my testimony is very poor. So I'll just kind of let so-and-so do it. I believe in God, but I'm just not there. There's power in the message, and when you believe in the message, there's power in us. And so we need to allow the humility, but don't allow that to stop us from using our lives to speak the power, to speak the message, to allow the power to work around people around us, because it's God working through us. It's the Holy Spirit working through us. So I want to walk you through this scripture, and this is Paul. Let me flip this. There we go. Works better with the on switch on. Look at that. When I first came to you, now this is Paul the Apostle. This dude wrote the majority of the New Testament. He is, in a way, the man. But listen to these words, because it's important that he knows, although I just said he is a man, he knows that Paul would probably say, Matt, you're incorrect. I serve the man, but I am not the man. When I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, speaking to the church of Corinth, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan, for I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. So right there, within that scriptures, those scriptures, Paul is separating himself from Jesus. See, he came from a tremendous amount of knowledge of the Old Testament. He studied. He showed himself approved. He was higher up. He was a Pharisee. And so probably some arrogance came with that, the way that he walked through and just having Christians pulled out of their homes, beaten, persecuted, even slain. So he really had to die to himself to come to this conclusion here. And so he is separating himself, realizing, hey, there is a message to be spoken, and I'm just the messenger. And Paul is realizing this very, very humbly. He goes on to say, I came to you in weakness, timid, and trembling. My message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God. See, as Pastor Chad shared last week, these people were struggling. Hey, do I serve Apollos? Do I serve Paul? I mean, they're struggling with like these three different guys, and Paul's like, guys, you're not getting it. It's about Jesus Christ. We are simply the messengers. but it's about Jesus. And so he was specifically not using clever speech. Now, he was just, this is a message. This is the good news. I need you to understand the good news of Jesus. It's right at your fingertips. It's for you to have. It's ripe for the taking. And so Paul comes in all humility explaining to people, this is what it's all about. When you look at verse 4, my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, what happens is when something great happens in a person, whether it's spiritually or physically, or we have the ability to take credit for ourselves. And even we've seen, I will say, amazing men and women of God in the world of evangelism struggle with that. Things get too big. That they struggle. Churches get big and the money's coming in, and next thing you know, they are being lifted up because God's doing great things through them, but people are like praising the person. And it's toxic in a way. So we have to be very careful when the power of God works through us of staying grounded and realizing, wait a second, there is power, but it's from God for people. So it's not about us. So even when people praise you, and I've had people in the back say, hey, Matt, that message just hit me right. It was like you were speaking just to me. I love hearing that because I want God to speak just to you, but that I'm just a messenger. So we are messengers taking a phenomenal life-saving message to people. So we have to stay humble in that. At the same time as when I started out, we have to realize that we are worthy to speak the message. So if we're feeling less than and you're waiting to know more or to be more like this person, that's not going to happen. God wants you to speak the message that he's put into your heart and your life the way that you would speak it. Don't feel less than. Humility is a good thing. But when it comes to the point of, you know, lock the door and throw away the key. No, because that is Satan saying you're not there yet. Satan's never going to say that you're there. He's always going to point out flaws. We're always going to have flaws and weaknesses. God works through those and takes the message to the world. He does that through us. Paul goes on to say, I'm just going to read this to you. When I'm among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Look at this. I love this. Our call is simply to deliver the message. It's a message worth delivering. Let's keep that on our forethought. Now, Jesus delivered the message, correct? Did a really good job of it. He was the message. He delivers a message. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands throughout the New Testament were receiving this message. How many didn't? You know, believe it or not, probably a vast minority of people didn't. But they were the loudest. And the people that didn't receive were those who couldn't get out of their way. The Pharisees, the priests, the Sadducees, the Roman rulers, they wanted the spotlight. They wanted the fame. They wanted to be seen. They couldn't get out of their way. And so they what was right in front of their face, a man healing in the name of God, miraculous things right in front of these Pharisees' face, and they refused to see it because there was a hardness of heart. That is so sad. But our call is simply to deliver the message. Anyone have a mailman on your block? Male person, male woman, I'm going to say it incorrectly. Male individual, however you want to put it. What do? They deliver mail. Nowadays, it's more. Back in the olden days, it was mailman. Now it's Amazon man and UPS man and all these other different, FedEx man, all these other What is their job to do? It is to deliver. They're supposed to deliver. Are they responsible for the content? No, they just have to deliver it to you. The content's already there. What happens if they don't deliver it? Has anyone been waiting for a package? And let's put it in the nowadays. Your email says, we'll be delivered on the date. The date comes, you're standing there, and there's nothing there. Do you get irate, upset, anything? You get mad at the mailman. Rain, snow, or shine, we need this mail person to deliver our mail. Think about this in terms of the message. I love simplicity, so I'm going to put it in these terms. This message needs to be delivered. It's the truth. It's life-saving. It's for every human being that has ever drawn breath, and it needs to be delivered. Rain, snow, or shine. Now, when you look past the weather, rain, snow, or shine spiritually means this. Even when it's hard, people need the message. Even when it's easy, people need the message. I prayed for people where they pretty much came to me and said, Matt, I am a sinner. Would you pray over me? That was easy. Then I've had people tell me, would you stop speaking about God when you're around me? That's a little more difficult. But do they still need to hear the message? So then I just kind of shut my mouth and I just acted. I just acted like Jesus around them. Rain, snow, or shine. We, in a way, are mailmen. We're not responsible for the content. The content's already done. We just have to deliver it. And so to walk in this, to allow this to captivate our hearts, our souls, our minds, that's when we really start getting it to living it out and realize that even if you feel less than, go ahead and feel that way. I am. I'm no Jesus. I'm no Paul. I'm no Peter. We can all say that. They all took a message to the people around them and spoke the truth. That's what's being asked of us. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secret. Now grab a hold of these verses here. No one can know a person's thought except a person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. So how does this happen? Because this is what builds confidence. When you know that what you're saying and how you're living is what God wants you to say and how he wants you to live. That builds confidence. You know you're doing it right. This was something I thought, I'm going to share a precursor with you guys before the message, but as I was studying, God's like, no, that's actually part of the message. A few weeks ago, we talked about fasting. We got through our series on habits. So the whole series was just really building good habits, allowing our lives to stay connected to God, in order to share the good news with other people. And so, matter of fact, let's just have some fun. I talked to you guys and actually put it up there, four habits that I think will just do it for us. Can you name those four habits to me? Just start shouting them out. That's all four of them right there. Fasting, reading your Bible, prayer, solitude. I put listening because it's a little simpler. But and so reading the Word of God is getting this in here. It's understanding if our faith is about God, we need to understand how God wants us to live. And that's the understanding of it. Prayer is a relational tying with God. Listening is when you're kind of done talking and you allow him to pour into you. And then the fasting, that's the sacrifice of something, allowing us to comprehend, hey, I need to spend more time with God in this area. And so those four together are powerful. So what I started doing was, I've done fasting in the past. You guys have heard some of the longer ones, but then the lifestyle fasting, I've broken away from that for a while. If you're with me, I'm not saying, oh, that's horrible, you shouldn't have done it. I don't know, there's times when you feel like you should fast, there's times, but I thought, you know, I'm preaching on it, it's in the Word, there's power in it. God, I need this to be a regular part of my life again. And so I thought, I'm just going to try this amount of time. So the first week, I tried that amount of time. And it just didn't click. If you're with me and you're trying this fasting thing, it's extremely hard to make it a habit. And I'm going to say stuff for any of you that tried with me or still trying it. You're going to agree with me 100%. Are you ready? You start the fast and you're hungry. And you're doing these things for God, right? You're fasting because you want this closeness with God. You want the relationship. Guess what Satan does throughout the fast? He tells you you're fasting wrong. You're praying about the wrong things. It's not working. Then guess what happens? Hunger sets in. Anyone been hungry? My daughter! Sweetheart, if you're listening, I'm talking about you. Sometimes she gets mad if I don't talk about her, but we used to call her hangry when she would get hungry. And that's a real thing. Turns out it's just not her. I have it too. And so you're dealing with this, and then life is going on, and now you're hungry, and something at work goes wrong, and you get blamed for something, and you're just a little more off than what you should be because you're hungry. How do you react? Wait a second, I'm fasting. Things are supposed to be getting better, more spiritual. God's more there. I mean, so all these things are going on, and then you just feel a little bit weak. And Satan's like, you know what? You just took a whole day or two. Nothing happened from it. Matter of fact, you see the adverse effect of fasting. So just go back to eating. You have more strength. You had a better attitude. Anybody? That's what happens. And so the next week, God's like, I want you to adjust this. And actually, because I want you to increase your fast a little bit. And so I did. This is what's been happening the last few weeks. Through reading the Word of God, fasting, prayer, and listening, those together combining are allowing me to have days with God instead of a time with God. And the fasting really cemented that. And this is what I mean by that. Who works a 40-hour week job or more? That's a lot of time out of your week. And so when you're fasting, there's a lot of time if you do it during work days when you're at work during this. And so constantly being hungry, I just constantly remind myself to pray through the day. Well, God was a part of my day. Because we're all doing a lot of times is I get up. Well, every day I get up and I have my devotions before I go off, and so I'm set. But the next time I talk to God is before I get to work, I do a little prayer thing. And as I'm driving for work as I get there, then the next time I talk to God on a regular basis might be later that night or it might be the next day. I mean, I've got my fill, right? I got God in me. We're good to go. I don't involve him in my day sometimes, I've realized. And that's just not to say, oh, God, please, my day is horrible. No, in the great times. Man, I just fixed this machine that was stumping everybody. Thank you, God. Praise God for the wisdom that you've given me to do this. Father, I was just in a break room when this guy sits down. Next thing, we're talking about Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity. That fasting has allowed me to bring him through my day. And so I don't have to fast every day. The rest of the week after that, the habit set in to where I start doing a better job of bringing God with me through my entire day. Praising with him, lamenting with him, praying for people with him, just allowing him to be a part of my day. That has brought a closeness to the relationship that is what we really need to stay in tune with God. What do you have for me? And so when you're getting closer and closer in relationship with God, I'm telling you, you hear better. And when you hear better, you know what to do more. And so the combination of those four things, it's powerful in building a relationship with Jesus Christ to allow your life to go out and really do what it was created to do, and that is spread the good news. That's all that we were created to do. And so finding habits to allow us to do that, praise God for those habits and for the freedom that we have to share those habits. God is good. He makes a way. We have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. And see, the difference between God's Spirit and the world's Spirit is the world most generally is telling us to take care of ourselves, where God is always pointing out other people because he's like, hey, I have you. We're in relationship together. I am taking care of you. Now I am preparing you, like we talked about a few weeks ago, to look and to see the need. Verse 13 says, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. That all gets very confusing. Sometimes people just unplug when they read that. Oh, spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. I'm out. How do you do that? I don't know how to do that. It's through the relationship of God. It's through everything we've just said. When you are practicing these habits, the Spirit will work through you. It's not a magic potion. It's a relationship. That if we stay in the habit of being with God through His Word, through prayer, listening to Him, fasting for Him, He will speak through us. And then we can see past what the world wants and understands. I had a friend come in a coffee room the other day, and he's going through something, man of God, and he has a checkered past, and he talks about that a lot, but he was asking me a question, and he goes, I want some biblical truths to this. And so I'm explaining, and I could tell it just wasn't clicking, and it was really about grace. He was trying to offer grace but also discipline at the same time, and it wasn't being received really well. And I said one simple thing. I think it was something like, grace does not yield to bad behavior. Have you ever said something to somebody and it was like an epiphany to them, and you're like, what did I say? Well, the grace does not yield to bad behavior. You think about yielding. If you're going up here and you have a yield sign, what do? You allow the car to go in front of you. So my point was, grace does not allow for bad behavior, because the Bible says you don't go on sinning just because of God's grace. I said those words. He's like, that's it. I'm like, what's it? I just said a whole lot. No, that line right there, that's what I needed. It makes sense now. I got to go, and he's gone. Break was over. I'm sitting here thinking, what in the world? All the other stuff was a little more biblical. I mean, that was just something that flew out of my... The Spirit works through us and delivers what people need when we remain in Him. That wasn't a madism. That wasn't my greatest stuff. And if it was, who gets the credit for it? What good does that do anybody if Matt gets the... It doesn't. I love seeing God work through me when I know it's Him. I love that. And that happens through a relationship and habits of staying close to Him. And it just will flow out of you. It just happens. I'm going to read verse 14 to you. It says, people who aren't spiritual... Now, this is difficult. It's a truth, but it's difficult to comprehend here. People who aren't spiritual can't receive truths from God. Isn't that sad? But it's a truth. So if you're speaking to someone who isn't spiritual, not to say that they are a human being, they are created of God and in His image, but they haven't allowed of God to really, they like block it. Like, nope, don't want anything to do with that. Those who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. So the Christianese is to say in fellowship with the Spirit, but when we are practicing these good behaviors and building that relationship with God, we now can comprehend what He's trying to say to us. But if we back away from that, and the Spirit's like, hey, I'm in the world, I'm perfectly fine, I know God, I said the prayer, but we're not in the Word, we're not reading constantly, we're not starting our day off with listening to Him. Our focus isn't good news to people, it's more like taking care of ourselves. Even having the knowledge of God in your head, you begin to kind of block that Spirit from speaking to you, and all of a sudden, you're not hearing. And you can't do what you don't hear. We need that instruction to hear before we can go out and live the instructions out to their fullest. And so it's dangerous to get comfortable with where we're at, saying, hey, I've said that prayer, but not daily dig into that relationship to get closer to God. Now, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things. but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach them? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Whew, that hit me. Think about this for a moment. We, if we are in fellowship with the Spirit, have the mind of Christ. Now if I ask again, who struggles with feeling less than? But you have the mind of Christ if your habits are drawing you close to God. You keep those habits, that less than is just, it's just a humility deal. Do it. Speak it. Say it. You have a testimony? I'm telling you what, if I've ever had someone up here that is newer at speaking or give a testimony, what do you hear most of the time? Hey, this is, I'm not really comfortable. This isn't really my thing. My testimony isn't that. We all have to get that out of the way. That's humility. But then I love what happens next. And then they tell their testimony. And then they tell their story. Hey, humility's fine. Get it out of the way if you have to. Go ahead and do the I'm not deserving if you want to. But then do it. Tell the story. Explain to their friend what God's done in your life. Be willing to say, I've heard what you just said. Can I pray with you? Because I believe that Jesus Christ can heal this situation. Step out in faith. Less than or not, right now, we have the mind of Christ if we are staying in God through relationship. So we cannot allow that less than feeling to shut us up. That's Satan's plan. And then right here, our focus point, when you're feeling less than, just remember the power is in the message. Just be the mailman. Just deliver the message. That's where the power is at. The power is not in how many scriptures you have memorized. If you're like me, I have a lot of scriptures memorized. Can you ever say it correctly when you need to? My brain falls out of my head. I've butchered so many scriptures, but I get the meaning right. I don't have a photographic memory. I just can't. So there's times when I'm getting the meaning to people. Where is that found? Have you ever shared something with someone? This is in the Bible, but you didn't know where it was found? Does it lose its power? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth and the light. No man gets through. So guys, understand, it's only through Jesus. There's no other God. But where's that found? I don't know. Well, then it means nothing to me. No, that doesn't happen. It's in the Bible. My point is, you are not less than. Don't allow Satan to clamp your mouth shut because you don't know the books of the Bible. Or you don't know. Stay in the Word of God daily. Allow him to build your spirit. That opens communication between God and you, and speak out what he gives you. That's when it happens. When you're feeling less than, just remember the power is in the message. And I did this on purpose, get. We get. What does that mean? It's a privilege. We get to be the messengers. If you're privileged, man, don't hold the tongue when you're privileged. If it's a privilege, that means it was an honor bestowed upon you. We have had the honor of the good news of Jesus Christ bestowed upon us. And Paul's even saying, man, I spoke out in simplicity because I knew it was just a message. Now, the difference between, I'll end with this, when he speaks out in simplicity and then he says he does use wisdom, there comes a time when helping someone new to the faith understand that there is a Savior, you have to help them understand, hey, you are worthy. There is a Savior for you. There's no sin that you can't, Lord God, just forgive me. There is grace for you. Now, once people have accepted salvation, guess what? There's some work to do and there's some transformation that has to happen within their lives. And that's when Paul's saying, okay, so with more mature believers, that's when he got, let's get a little more serious now, because we talked a lot about you and what you need and how you deserve it, but now it's about what you can do for others. So there is a depth in being discipled. That's why being discipled is so important, because salvation, the sinner's prayer, is the repentance. But being discipled is you're preparing to go out and offer that good news. It's one thing to receive, it's even better to give in this area. So being discipled is so important, and that wisdom does come in, and we do have to be transformed. So I just want to pray over us now. If any of you are struggling with this, congratulations, you're a human being. And that last thing will just, it'll probably always kind of be there, but push through it. Because the message isn't less than. It's all there. The answer is all there. Nothing's missing that we need. It's not less than. Our human flesh, call it humility. Okay, I'm less than, but I'm going to speak it out. I've been given a testimony. If God's done something in your life, you have a testimony. If he's done one thing in your life, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's something that he did in your life that made you think that you needed that. Share that. But you're not less than. Just going to ask, something just pricked in me. Is there anyone here that says, I need to say that sinner's prayer right now? I'm not living for God, but I believe that he is my Savior. He did die. He was raised again by God, and I want to give my life to him. Is there anyone that would just say, that's me? If not, praise God. We're all born again. Okay. Had to do that. Something just popped in my head. If that's you and you haven't raised your hand, talk to me later. Let's pray together. Father, right now, I ask that you will just watch over us. Just cleanse us, dear God. Your word says that you are the forgiver of sins, that you can cleanse over us and make us pure. So right now, may we just have a little peaceful moment here, realizing that we are now purified through the grace of Jesus Christ, through the death on his cross. We know your message, whether at depth or service, we know your message. Jesus, you love us. You died on a cross for us because of the eye of life. Father, may you impart in us just the strength. Some say boldness, but I even say boldness and humility, just to go out and tell our story. May we just be the messengers. May we just speak the message out. Every time that we feel the humility come over us, or maybe even, I don't know what I'm feeling, may we just push through it and just speak your message. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is coming out of those words, is coming out of those actions. So God, right now, I just pray over each and every one of us that we will form those habits even more so, that we may be in your word, on our knees praying to you, sitting back listening in silence. I don't know how many times we have to stop and then start again. And then may we learn just to fast, to understand what it means to sacrifice for you, to show you that we are willing to do that for you. Help us, dear God, walk in those things, and then watch the fruit of your Spirit and your kind of love sweep over us as we change our worlds for you for the better. We pray this in your name. Everyone says, amen.